You're the only person to put a camera in front of my face and ask me point blank.
Really?
Yeah, this is some hard-hitting journalism.
Yes. Delulu Canoe, you heard it here first. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe podcast. We are here. We are excited riding down the River Rapids today. We have joining me in the back of the canoe producing is Adam Williams Astro.
Hello.
Woo. I didn't know if I should cheer.
Yes, you can cheer. Cheering is good. Cheer. And also joining me in the canoe, which I've been very excited for this episode, and I've been keeping it under wraps for a little bit, so you all might be surprised. It's Danny Moda.
Hello. Woo. Wow, it's so weird to see this from an angle that isn't just on my phone.
Yeah.
The past few days, I've been watching episodes of this podcast in prep. And so it's very weird to like be here. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm living it now.
Where's the applause? You're like, where did it go? Yeah, it's crazy being, because I do a lot of podcasts too, where like you jump from show to show. And it's great because you get to see other people and how they run things. Mm. But it's so weird being in it when you've just watched a bunch of episodes, because you're like, how did I get here? Like, now I'm part of it. Like, how did this happen?
I know. I'm like ready to just like comfortably sit and like watch it unfold in front of me and not realizing I'm going to have to participate.
You're just like, I will just watch, seeing everything happen.
But I do get that where it's like, oh, this every podcast setup is like different and on like a spectrum of professionalists. Or professionalness. Mm-hmm. This is so professional. You guys did the iCarly countdown before we started recording.
Thank you. And you know iCarly?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love that show. It made me want to be a YouTuber so badly as a kid. Yeah. But yeah, we do the countdown. I don't, what else do we do that's professional? We're on time. We offer you a drink.
Tons of lights, tons of cameras.
Yeah.
Just this whole setup. It's so crazy being on a podcast set where like, the wall where the cameras are pointed isn't the only decorated wall. Every other podcast I've been on, it's like a gorgeous backdrop and everything else is like drywall and like termites eating it.
Warehouse vibes. Yeah. I've definitely been there where you're like, so you run a podcast in this like murderous building in the middle of nowhere. Cool. But yeah, we get a lot of compliments on like everything in this room. One day I'll actually show you all what it looks like. We just have a lot of stuff, like stuffed animals, Pokemon, anime, Kirby. We got a Kirby corner happening.
It's like pretty much just Pokemon. It's a lot of, you're really underselling how Pokemon
am I? I mean, we got some other stuff. We got some like, you know, more Pokemon. It's everywhere.
Yeah, you've got like a pink Bulbasaur. That's like different.
You know, it's a choice. I grew up watching that anime. It was like my first introduction to anime because I had an older brother who was on the spectrum and he was like, if you want to hang out with me, you have to watch Pokemon. And I was like, fine. But then I ended up loving it. Like, Pikachu is like my favorite. So it all started from childhood. And now I haven't ever grown out of it. Parents thought it would be a phase. It's still phasing, I guess.
I love how you're like, yeah. I watched Pokemon because I have a brother who's on the spectrum. Not, yeah, I just liked it. It was cool.
prefaces it with an excuse. Yeah.
I mean, you have to give the lore because like, I didn't just stumble into it. It was kind of like peer pressure. But then when you go to public school, it's like I was made fun of for watching Pokemon because it's like a male, or it was back then, a very like male-oriented show.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I feel like it was super rad being a girl who watched Pokemon.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, not that I personally would know, but also growing up in like middle school and high school, if a girl was like, oh yeah, I watch Pokemon, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop talking to you because I'll make a fool of myself.
No, like, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Me too,
how cool.
Me too. Yeah. Oh, it looks so indie of you. And now it's like everywhere, which yeah. I love that. I love that it's become more like anime in general has become kind of like everybody watches it. It's not just like a nerdy thing anymore.
See, and for me, I think Pokemon came out when I was like 10 or 11. So I was that target audience for Gen 1. And I would have killed for a girl that watched Pokemon. Are you kidding me? A girl that watched Pokemon and didn't make fun of you for it? That would have been like, the ideal dream woman.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You know?
Yeah, the vibe was so different in high school where, like, there'd be actual, like, closeted anime fans.
Yeah!
Where, like, me and some of my friends who were really into Naruto but didn't want anyone to know would see kids, like, with Naruto shirts in the halls. And I'm like, hey, man, be chill. Like,
don't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell people. What are you doing?
Wait, don't out us, okay? Like, yeah. We gotta keep this in. But, yeah, now it's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
You can't escape it. And I love that, though.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of guests on the show and they tend to do like the podcast circuit. I've tried looking up you just to kind of like get a gauge what you're like with interviews and like what questions you've been asked hundreds of thousands of times. And you've done a few like podcasts here and there, but you're really hard to find online with, I don't know if they're just not advertising it with the keywords, but I've only seen like 4 interviews of you.
Yeah, I guess.
And you've done a lot more than that, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I really don't do a lot of like collaboration work or like, yeah, I've only done a couple of podcasts because I usually just go on the Escape Pod. I've been on twice.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
Because I just love that podcast. Unrelated to me knowing them. Mm-hmm. I was just a fan. And I also just run my own podcast, my own YouTube channel, TikTok. So I'm not like starving for opportunities to like spout my bad opinions.
No. Well, it's funny because like I even tried to look up like what your first viral YouTube video was or first like viral TikTok was, and it didn't point me to one singular like show that you had reacted to. And I thought that was so interesting because it makes my job difficult because the theme of this show is having guests that have been asked the same 6 questions over and over on different like talk shows, podcasts, interviews, where like, I mean, I get asked the same, like, what was your first cosplay that you ever did? What's your dream cosplay? And it kind of gets redundant. But for you, it's like, it's kind of an open book. Like, I just get to kind of be like, okay, what's your Delulu this week? And then we get to ask you questions that, like, I personally have. So I guess my big one is, like, what is something that makes you feel Delulu?
I am so delusional over, like, every now and then I'll find certain movies or, like, seasons of shows that it seems like I'm the only person who thinks it's perfect.
Yeah.
But like to a degree where I can't even fathom other people not seeing what I see in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a spectrum where like on the like least hot take side of the spectrum, I have like the first Hunger Games movie, I think is like a 10 out of 10 masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like as an adaptation, but like as a film unrelated to the Hunger Games IP.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on like
the judgment in that palpable. Mean,
like Donald Sutherland is a national treasure, but other than that, I never read the book, so I wouldn't be able to compare how it was like adaptation wise, you know.
Yeah,
it,
I was gonna ask if you read the books or you just you're a reader. I love
the books. There's also just like certain boxes. The reason it makes me delusional is because there are just boxes that if a movie checks, I will love it. Mm-hmm. And one of those boxes is like a PG-13 movie that feels like it should be rated R.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
I'm so edgy in that regard that there will just be some instances, like another movie that I feel like the world is wrong about is the second Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, yes.
It's so good. It's unbelievably sick, and it checks that box in that, like, there are these crazy, like, horror sequences where, like, a dude's face gets ripped off by the Kraken, and, like, every Pirates of the Caribbean movie opens with something just jarringly, uncharacteristically horrifying.
Yep.
So, yeah, and then on the most delusional side of the spectrum is like, have you heard of In Time?
No.
There's a movie.
That sounds familiar.
2008's In Time, starring Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, when they had the like countdown thing where you can trade like time for immortality or whatever.
Where time is literally money.
Yeah, no, that was a really good movie, and Fred Durst was in it.
Yeah, Fred Durst is in it.
Yeah, well, he's such an asshole.
That absolutely. You're not in a band called Limp Bizkit, and you're not an asshole. For those who don't know, In Time, starring Justin Timberlake, which came out in 2008, is a movie in which time is actually money. Mm. So everyone has this like tattoo on their forearm that says 1 year. It's like a clock. So it's like one and then like a bunch of zeros. And when you turn 25, that will start to count down.
Oh, gosh.
And so you can earn and lose money as like currency. So you go to your job, and at the end of the week, your job will pay you like a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And that like, essentially you can live forever or you can like die in a year if you're unemployed and like spend all your money on coffee and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like rich people are like hundreds of years old because they can just, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then everybody else, they turn 25 and then they... Yeah,
that sounds really unfair.
Within the first couple of years, it was a really good movie, really good concept, actually.
It's the perfect blend of like unbelievably stupid and like taking itself really seriously. Mm-hmm. Where they'll like go to a Starbucks or something, and they're like, "That'll be 10 days for a coffee," and it's like, "Yesterday it was 6 days," and it's like, "Them's the breaks."
Them's the breaks.
You know, I've never actually seen that film, but I've seen a lot of creators on TikTok take that idea where they have like a number floating above their head and then it like ticks down or ticks up depending on like the choices that they make. So I'm imagining it is from that film or like the inspiration comes from there. So I have an idea of what you're talking about.
Right.
But people didn't generally like that movie.
No one likes that movie.
No.
It's just like, and it's fair. Like banks are called timeshares and it's just all time puns.
Mm-hmm. It's like somebody took the catchphrase from the ATM machines, like time is money, and then just took that one single line and turned it into an entire 2 hour film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like toll booths are called time zones. Like,
okay. Yeah.
But it's another box that like these movies have to check is when The Hunger Games does this and Pirates does it and this does it, where it shockingly like feels like a movie people really tried to make.
Oh, like, no.
They're really serious about it.
Yeah, like I love when you're watching a big budget like Hollywood movie that could and should feel like crap or feel like generic, and it's really like artsy and indie feeling. And this has that, where it's like very grounded and very gritty, and the cinematography's not bad, and everyone's trying. It's just a dumb idea.
Yeah, but they love that idea so much, you know? That's where the best ideas come from, is a dumb idea.
I'm over here like, I thought it was a cool concept.
You're like, I thought it was deep.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have to watch it, though. Like, I'm curious, like, what really made the general public not like it, but... I don't know. Movies back then were really harshly criticized just for the simplest things. Yeah. So who knows?
Does anyone ever ask what your either like what's your version of like my DeLulu prompt? Or even if you just want to go totally off the rails, is there something you're delusional about that you haven't gotten to bring up on your podcast?
I mean, I have a segment where I get to do it myself on certain months when I like can't get a guest or a guest will cancel. So I'll be like, hey, guys, let's talk about airplane food. You know, I'll come up with something. Right. But to your point, I actually saw your prompt because I was like, I want to do a little bit of research if you had like an anime or something you wanted to like deep dive into and I'd never heard of. I was sitting there thinking this morning, like, what is my favorite movie that other people just hate? And mine is Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
Well, in its time, when it came out, people loved it because it was in the era that like every actor had to be a triple threat. You had to sing, you had to dance, you had to act. And now it's just not, it's like a lost art. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's now called like movers because they can't really dance as well or they can't act. Like it's just, it's hard to find people that are that talented. But I just loved Debbie Reynolds in it, where she was like 16 years old, barely knew how to tap dance and got thrown into this movie, and she's incredible. And I love the messaging of like the whole story is Gene Kelly's character getting turned down for like after film project over and over and over again. And he's on this red carpet and he's like, well, it went really great for me. And he's like lying about his upbringing, right, about how he made it in all these shows and he was so great, when the actuality is like every time he was getting rejected. Mm-hmm. And then they write this musical and it's this whole adventure. And I'm a sucker for musicals. I love it. I know people hate when you sing and tell a story, but I love it. And I just think that back then it was really well praised, and now everyone thinks it's tacky and corny because, like,
interesting
times have changed, right. Like cinema has changed, but I still love it. Like,
yeah,
that's my weird, like, I will always go to bat for Singing in the Rain. I don't know why, it just, it's a good plot, good dancing, good singing. So
I have a really good answer for yours too. As soon as she told me your topic, I was actually really, really excited for this. I have an older example and then a modern day example.
Okay. Mm.
So my older example, 100%, is going to be Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it at all?
Is that the... No, I'm thinking of Chinatown. Doesn't a man like explode at a restaurant?
There is a man that explodes in that.
Okay,
yeah,
I think I've just seen that scene.
It was Kurt Russell, and it was one of Kim Cattrall's first movies as well. And it's a really weird story about a truck driver who has friends in San Francisco Chinatown, and he gets caught in the middle of this like 3,000-year-old prophecy about an ancient sorcerer finding a Chinese girl with green eyes that
he has to marry.
And then of course Kim Cattrall has green eyes too, so he wants to marry them both, and they summon these like ancient Chinese storms, and it's, the whole movie is just, it's campy weird action with bad puns and whatever, but like it's so much freaking fun, and the lightning effects and everything at the time were really great for when it came out. Like, it was a late 80s movie. Really awesome. Really awesome. And then my modern day example would be the canceled after the first season, The Acolyte.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm a big Star Wars guy, and like everybody hated The Acolyte because of all of the weird lore stuff that it changed and stuff. And for me, I loved all of that. Like, didn't take away the agency of Anakin or his character to me at all. It expanded the lore a lot in ways that I really enjoyed. Yeah, I didn't hate on that show at all.
Is that the one where someone like wills their lightsaber into going from like blue to red?
She doesn't will it, but it does bleed. Yeah, she does bleed the crystal from blue to red. Yeah, which a lot of people didn't like that because canonically in the comic books, it took Vader like a couple of weeks of doing all of these weird trials and stuff. And she was just able to burn hers like in one shot.
All right.
Maybe she's just that strong.
Yeah, you
that's
know.
That's happens like, in everyday media. Yeah. She's just that powerful.
But Acolyte gets a lot of hate, and I actually really enjoyed that show.
No, I feel that so much because one of my hotter takes is that the first season of The Legend of Korra is like a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Only the first season, though, but the first season is stellar from beginning to end, other than the fact that they kind of like fix racism in like one season.
Okay.
Like,
love that.
Like, it kind
of centuries of racism fixed with the stroke of a pen. Yeah.
It kind
of
just gets wrapped up when they find out that like the leader of the equalist movement is a bad guy. Like, everyone's I guess we're over it. But otherwise, it's like, but that reminds me of The Acolyte, where it's like a spinoff or side series in an established IP that kind of like mixes things up and rubs everyone the wrong way. But you're like, man, I just love that it's new content.
Exactly. Like, that's where I am. I just want more in the IP I like. It doesn't matter if it, you know, whatever. I just want more.
It's interesting that you brought up Singing in the Rain because everyone was like a triple threat, and that you gravitated towards Debbie Reynolds like being the example of that rather than what a lot of people go to, which is that guy who has to do a triple backflip mid-song.
The Make Him Laugh. What's his name? I'm forgetting it now.
And I'm also blanking.
It's so incredible.
It's Gene Kelly, isn't it?
No, Gene
Kelly's sidekick character.
The side character.
He's got like striking blue eyes. But yeah, he does this whole song, Make Him Laugh, and he's like climbing up the wall and jumping backwards. He also is incredibly talented, really devastating that I can't remember his name right now. But you're right. Like, he also very much so is like a triple threat with stunts.
It's just, I think that's cool. And not that you like needed to prove you love Singing in the Rain, but it was like when you were like, people had to be like multi-talented back then. They wouldn't just like, you know, swap to a dancer during the dance scenes. And rather than going to like the example everyone pulls, you're like, here's some like niche bits that I love about it that other people don't see. Like, that's where I'm coming from with all of these movies.
That's how you know you love a franchise or a TV show or a book, is like you kind of go into these like deep dives on them and you want to learn like every little thing about it. The one that tripped me the most recently that like started my hyperfixation on a lot of shows was Arcane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I avoided Arcane like the plague because we would see Jinx cosplayers everywhere. And right. like, as a girl who likes to, you know, dress in cosplays that show a little bit more skin, I love to like flaunt a little bit. I just kind of thought Jinx was a Harley Quinn rewrite. Mm. And I have this weird aversion with Harley Quinn. That could be a whole episode another day. where we would see these cosplayers and I'm like, ugh, like this show is probably trash. Like, why is everybody relating this character? She's like moody and has tattoos and the braid thing that is literally in every
right.
woman's trope. Where she's troubled and has a braid or whatever.
And I never noticed that.
Really?
I never noticed that through line between like troubled women and having long braids down to their heels.
Tangled with Rapunzel, okay. Arcane Jinx, Rumi, K-pop Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
I always get Demon Slayer and Demon Hunter like in my brain mixed
That's
up
so
now
because
they're so close. Who's the other? There's another braided baddie.
See, and I thought the trope
Hunger
was...
Games.
Katniss. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, the slightly mean, but like, you know, well-to-do female protagonist. Always
I lost my parent and now I have a brain. Yeah.
Like I have tactical hair.
Exactly. Yeah. Tactical like I could fight. And I don't remember who, I think it was Chompy, our editor, that was like, girl, you got to watch Arcane. Like I'm going to keep editing this podcast for you, silly girl, but like, please watch the show. You'll really like it. And I finally was like, fine. So I put it on and I was like cleaning. I was like running around cleaning up and I was just like, oh, this is so boring. Like, why is Jinx a kid? I don't get it. And then by the third episode, I was fully sat, like duster in hand, mouth agape. And I was like, what is happening? Yeah. So we did a whole deep dive on this show. And then I fell into Steven Universe, which I know you've done a lot of reactionary content with because that show is like never ending.
Yeah.
And I've just started. So I have a long way to go. But yeah, that's been the recent hyperfixation was Arcane into Steven Universe and obviously has been in Hell of a Boss too.
Like for sure.
We've fallen down that rabbit hole a lot.
I love that you have an aversion to like just things that are popular.
Popular media.
Because me too. I'm also a hipster. Like with Pokemon, ever since Pokemon, like when I was five, I'd always choose my starter based on what my best friend was going to choose.
What?
Like I'd be like, hey, you know, Ruby and Sapphire is coming out. Which one are you going to be? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I think Mudkip looks cool. And I'd be like, yeah, I think Mudkip looks fucking dumb. I don't know if I can swear. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. Wait, so you would hate on their choice?
I'd hate on their choice.
Just trolling, Pokemon
just
trolling.
Just because. And then I'd stick with that. I still don't like Mudkip just because of that.
It's your character arc. You're just like, I hate Mudkip now forever.
Mudkip's awesome, like objectively, I can't like him because I'm a Blaziken ride or die.
Okay, yeah.
And I wouldn't even counter him. Like, Blaziken is worse than Mudkip because he's fire.
Yeah, you're right.
Every Pokemon game, I'd ask my friend and I would choose what he didn't have.
See, I was the opposite with my brother because he was always player one and I was always player two. So whatever one he didn't want, I would get. Mm-hmm. And there was this one birthday, a notorious birthday, where I got Super Smash Brothers for GameCube. And my brother threw a huge fit because that was the game he wanted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting how, like, do you have any siblings or?
Yeah, I have a sister who's like 7 years older than me.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it just changes like how you think and you both obviously live together at some point.
Yeah.
So that really makes you like aware of like what it's like to be a girl from a boy's point of view and like vice versa. And it really impacts like what your interests are too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I was always into, so my parents got divorced when I was like 4. So I never cared. Sick. Were you like, when they told you, were you like, oh, let's go two Christmases.
No,
okay.
I didn't understand. I did not understand what was happening. But
I vividly remember asking, I was briefly upset because I thought we were getting a horse and it really stressed me out.
What?
Because I had a friend, one, it sounds like horse, like divorce to me sounded
five,
like a type of horse. And then two,
of course.
I had a friend named Sam whose parents recently got divorced. It was going around. They got divorced and they had like a ranch. And so my parents were like, we're getting divorced. And I was like, where are we going to keep this thing?
Yeah.
Like you can barely afford toys for me, let alone food for a horse.
Yeah.
And when I found out it wasn't that, it was just two Christmases. I was hyped. But I mostly lived with my mom and my sister. Mm-hmm. So I like, yeah, with Pokemon, I always loved like the more quote unquote like effeminate Pokemon, like Milotic is my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. Love that.
But yeah, it was very much like you said, like seeing the female perspective through a boy's eyes.
Yeah. Do you feel like that kind of makes you more, because I've watched a couple interviews of, like, with you interacting with people, and you're an excellent interviewee. Like you do the thing where you wait till the other person finishes. And I don't think a lot of people do that. I don't even do that as I run the show and talk over everyone. But I've also noticed you're very like emotionally aware. Like you'll make furry jokes. You'll make like, why am I attracted to this jokes and your reactionary stuff. And it's always at the expense of you. Like you follow the rule of comedy very well, where you never punch down. If anything, you kind of punch down on yourself. And it totally makes sense to me as a viewer that you had a sister, because you're aware of that. And you're aware of like the comedic jokes and like allowing yourself to poke fun at yourself. And I don't think a lot of reactionary channels do that.
Interesting. I mean, I think it's like just more fun. I'm willing to like take the heat of a joke so that everyone can have fun. Whereas if you're like, you know, it traces back to like high school and middle school when you're in like a group of guys and you're like telling a story. Yeah, you can like rag on another guy and make him like the lightning rod of the joke, and everyone can be like, oh yeah, Zach is dumb or whatever.
Right.
But then Zach's feelings get hurt. Whereas like, if I can make that same joke about me, I know I don't really think I'm dumb. But like, if everyone else is able to like have fun with it, then I'm okay, like playing up a little bit of a character.
Yeah. So you have a little bit of like a clown, essentially. Yeah. Or like jester, I guess I would say, like archetypally. Which is cool, because like I don't have like that archetype or that personality trait where like I do tell jokes at my own expense, but I totally don't feel like I have like clown. I don't know what that would be for me.
I mean, I live and die for the bit. Yeah, I live and die for the bit, dude. So I absolutely get it. Like, if I can use myself as a brunt of a joke just to make the joke, I will do
that. Yeah, I mean, like, I explained it in a way that's maybe, like, more noble than it actually is, because it is also, like, it is also a form of just wanting the spotlight, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
If you make fun of something else or someone else, you are sharing the spotlight with that something else. Sure. Whereas if you can be funny making fun of yourself, you get it all. Like, you get all the credit.
Yeah. Did you do any like theater as a kid or any, like, people call you a theater kid online. I was like, did you actually?
I was never on stage, but I was part of like crew.
Okay, yeah.
I was like the lighting and sound and stuff like that. So I was like in the black shirt and black pants, like scuttling across stage, moving a chair in the dark. Like,
yeah, that, I mean, that's still part of being in theater is like, you know, helping build the sets and like helping stage management. Like, it's a lot being in theater. It teaches you so many things in the good ways and the bad ways.
Were you part of like musical theater?
Yeah. Yes.
I can tell. I saw the trauma in your eyes.
I'm the stereotypical theater kid. I try to be very aware of it, though, and not as I have like a whole career on social media. Maybe I am just like fully in it. But I do try to be aware of like the theater kid tropes where it's like you go out and they make it all about themselves, or they're like, feel bad for me, victim, you know, or like got an audition, didn't hear back, you know, just the typical tropes. But yeah, we both started in theater. I'm from Minnesota originally, so it was like a much smaller community.
Right.
And weirdly, Adam's from Wisconsin, so we both kind of grew up doing theater in the middle of nowhere.
Cold places.
Oh, dude, it's brutal. I think the last winter before I moved down here to California, with the wind chill, it hit like negative 76 degrees.
Yeah, that's how you know you're from Minnesota. Nobody else remembers the last winter before they moved.
Yeah.
That's like some medieval cold. Like,
yeah, negative 76. I mean, it's your hypothermia in 3 or 4 minutes if you're outside. Like, it's brutal. But I only did a handful of plays before I moved down here, but it was very much that like theater kid thing. But I also didn't start acting until I was in my late 20s, so I didn't really have that whole like high school theater kid background thing.
Do you do any acting stuff currently?
Do
you have more fun as like a theater adult or as a theater kid?
I think as a theater adult, I have more fun because my typecast has totally changed because I developed. So I used to be cast as like weird. Like there was one play where I played a monkey on stage, and like we all three of us had to play like the hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Right. So I was see no evil. So the entire time I couldn't see the audience. It was really tough. That's and I had to be a monkey.
So cruel to cast a child as that.
Yeah.
As a blind monkey for like 2 hours.
I thought I was really doing something back then. And then all of a sudden I went to college and then I was being put up for like princess or being put up for like, I don't know, like princess is mainly what I get archetyped as. Why am I trying to fish for something else? But, or like narrator, I've been like a narrator a couple of times. And now that I am in that wave, it's really fun. But I also like miss being weird things.
Right.
Because it just stretches you so much, which is why like we both are like voice actors as well. And we're trying to like dive more into that because then it has nothing to do with what you look like.
Right.
It's all about what you sound like. And that brings me to another question for you. That's how I recognized you at the BB No Money shoot was your voice. Because you were wearing a mask, I think, when...
Yeah, I was Ditto. And you were Articuno.
Yeah. So we were standing doing the... It was like the runway spectacular of BB No Money with all these 151 Pokemon. And I'm on like roller skates trying not to die, like standing on my brakes in the front. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, can we go faster? Like my feet are killing me. I got these wings on. I have no phone, no hands. So I'm just like... Okay, here we go. Let's do this thing. And I think I like bumped into you and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Cause I was like,
you're just constantly in neutral on these rollerblades.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm so sorry. My bad. And then you had said something just generally back like, oh, my bad or whatever. And then I was like, I know that voice. So, and then we just kind of started talking. We were like hitting it off, talking about Pokemon, like who's going next? What's happening? But my other question for you is, what do you do voice acting?
I'm like trying to get into it also. I've recorded for a pilot that I can't talk about.
Oh.
So that's like, that's the only like big thing I've done. But boringly, I can't really talk about it. But
that's
then
okay.
I've also done some like, you know, work for like other YouTubers where they're like, hey, like, do you want a cameo role in this or that? I'm working on this series called Birds of Prey or... Yes, Birds of Prey, which Rosetta Sun on TikTok is like spearheading, and she's like, it's going to be ideally this like, you know, Hellaverse type thing where it's starts as like animatics and then ideally gets animated. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to get more into it. Anytime I've been recognized, it's never for how I look. No one, no one has ever seen me from across a hall and been like, oh, you're that guy. It's only like someone standing directly behind me and I'll hit like,
It's happened to me. So, yeah,
it's always someone dressed as a giant bird directly behind me.
On roller skates.
And I'll like, hit an octave. Like, I could be talking for 10 minutes, and then it isn't until I'm like, whoa, that's crazy, that somebody, like, turns me around and is like, say that again. I'm
like, say it again, please. It
always happens, and then I always, my brain is, like, in fight or flight, where I'm like, did I piss this person off 10 years ago? Like, or do they just recognize me from YouTube?
Yeah. See, I have the opposite problem. People look at me and they're like, oh my God, I recognize you. You're the girl who went viral for Woody. And it's always weird stuff. It's never, I mean, lately it's turned into like more positive things because I have an album that's out. So people will be like, I've heard your song. But in the beginning, it was like, you're the girl who popped off for that Fashion Nova Woody outfit. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Cosplayer, actor. Cool.
Is that how? How does that feel getting recognized for the album?
Ooh, oh, that's delightful. It is so cool because like so my audience is very divided. And I'm sure you've seen because you were clicking through the podcast that like my audience loves when I do things that are like really sexy and that are really like, look at how womanly I am. But a lot of times when I do things like podcasts or like my album, it's like because there's no like visuals of it, I don't get a lot of viewership on it because my fans are just like, well, look, why don't you wear the tight dress? Which I'm so grateful for because I don't get me wrong. I love the way that I look and I love that I can be in a field where I'm celebrated and I can celebrate that myself. But it'd be really cool if more people like listen to my music or like watch the podcast, because I put way more work mm-hmm. into that side of things than I do like my appearance, you right. know? So yeah. it's, you say that like you being recognized by your voice is kind of like, oh man, but like you could be recognized by your knockers, and that's a whole nother trip to go on.
I don't know. I'd be pretty impressed if someone turns me around and is like, I recognize those tits. Yeah, like, right? Like, thank you.
You but, know, yeah. If somebody looked at me and was like, that's a bulge I've seen on TV, yeah, right. I'd be like, tell me more, please.
No, but if yeah. it makes you feel show. Better, I kind of go through something similar where my audience hates when I experiment. Like, oh. I'll put a ton of work into some like crazy different kind of project mm-hmm. where like I did like a book review recently, which doesn't sound that crazy, but I had like a cork board behind me and yeah. like red string yeah. tied all over. Like, I did a bunch of set design and stuff like that. And I was like, man, the script is so funny. It's such a cool video. And like, it does tie it. It was like a Gravity Falls book review.
Yes. Okay.
And yep. so like it tied in and it just like didn't do well at all. Like, aww. Anytime it's anything outside of like your regularly scheduled programming, mm-hmm. the video typically takes a hit. And I think that's just like people with YouTubers and content creators really love getting nestled into like a specific repetition. Mm-hmm. And I'm even like that, where if a YouTuber I like does like a crossover video or is like, hey, I'm doing like my usual content, but Drew Gooden is here. I'm mm-hmm. like, get this guy out of here. I'm here for you specifically. Like,
yeah. And like, you don't blame them, because we're also content creators.
Right.
And the only way to grow on YouTube or podcasting, even on TikTok lately, is collaborating with other people. Yeah. So it's like, you kind of take that risk when you have somebody else like step into your bubble, into your world, and hoping that it will like progress you both. But sometimes it does the complete opposite. People are like, ugh, why this guy? Like, why this person? I'm like, yeah. really? Like, I want to have friends. I want to make content with other people. So it's a very interesting thing being on both ends of like mm-hmm. a consumer of content, but then also a creator. And I felt that too, when you try something new and you're like so jazzed about it and everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, which is so interesting too, because like you guys and every other YouTuber, you started making content because you were making content about stuff that you liked, that mm-hmm. you wanted to talk about. And then you developed an audience because people liked you and your views and the things that you talked about. But yeah. then once your audience hits that certain point, well, now you start noticing the monetization and you're like, well, now I feel obligated to pump out the things that they want to watch. And not necessarily the things that I want to make.
Right.
Which is so weird, because it's yeah. like, you got to where you're at for doing the things you like, but then in order to maintain it, you need to do the things they like.
Yeah, you go from being your own boss to the boss, like employed by the people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys prefer, and feel free not to answer this if for whatever reason, do you guys prefer doing solo content or the collab content?
Ooh. I hate to say, but it depends on the person you're working with. Mm. Because like, there's a lot of times where I'm not talking about an individual. So if you're watching this, you think it's
that's
about
why
you.
I was like, feel free not to answer.
I feel like, right? I don't want to get myself in trouble. But there are certain people that are a little bit more particular about the content that we put out. Mm. Like, there's some people that will come on this show, and as soon as we're done, they'll be like, can you delete the this thing I said? And I'm like, oh, like, This isn't live. Like, right. if there's a question or a thing that you're not comfortable answering, you could say like, hang on a second. Do you mind if we like don't? Can we skip that one? You know, right. like it's, we're going to edit it. Yeah, like, you right. know, so that's where it makes collaborating really difficult, because as soon as they leave, I get kind of like, okay, well, now I've got a lot of work to do on the back right. end, because you didn't say something during it. And now I've got to like be all hands on to make sure that you're okay with us putting it out there. Because I would never want to put something out on social media that they're not okay with.
Right, for
whether
sure.
it's like an Only Flapjacks collab, a podcast, TikTok, whatever the case is. But I also am very much so recharged by people. Hmm. So like, I'll grab like a girlfriend or like another content creator and just go grab coffee with them for like an hour, just to kind of be like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing right now. I don't know who I am. I don't know what direction to be in. Well, how are you doing? What are your problems? Right. And us just like spitball off each other. And I come back and I'm like, I'm ready to make 85 more videos. Yeah. Like, I love people, which is, I went to school for communication. So like, it totally works out in that way that like people recharge me. But Adam, you kind of, you're in a unique position because you're not really a content creator.
Yeah.
You're more of like a SAG actor that gets to be on really big sets with amazing actors.
Aww, so. Yeah. I mean, I try. Yeah. Like the content creation thing is definitely something that she's brought me into, you know, since we got to know each other. And even with this, like I don't produce nearly as much as Cosmo does. We do have our skit channel that we do together, Disastro, which we've been failing on for a while, which is 99% my fault. that's all me, not her. Yeah, so
I guess
my answer to that question would be like my preference is when my agent calls me and says you booked this thing,
for
and
sure.
then I get contact that says where to be, when, and there's a car coming to pick you up and we'll take you to set and whatever. That's where I like to live, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No,
the luxuries.
There's such a like interesting divide in, or not even, I'm like one of few like full-time YouTubers that I've like met out here. It's a lot of like TikTok and Instagram people.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because I'll do a collab once every like couple of months.
Wow.
Like you said, like as kind of a recharge. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, oh, this, I like this person's content from what I've seen. You were like super nice at the 151 event and like I hadn't done like a collab in a minute other than that, I guess. But I was like, you know, this event's super fun. You seem super cool. You asked me on your podcast. I'm down to do it. But it's like, it seems so exhausting. Some content creators who like their whole racket is collab, which not in like the way that I'm like, oh man, like that sucks. You got to get out of that. But like in the way that I'm just like, so much more introverted, and I love being able to be like, okay, my main racket is sitting in my chair and controlling every aspect of like what gets put out about me.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. And like, I give you so much credit because reactionary channels, I'm gonna cuss, they're fucking hard. Like, I tried. I had a whole separate thing where I was like, I'm gonna be a reactionary creator. I am not f-ing funny is what I learned really fast. Like, I would watch the TikTok and be like, there's a dog. Like, just not interesting at all. And I watch Charlotte Dobre, big fan of her content, big fan of like Two Hot Takes. They like read Reddit stories. The one girl, Morgan's even from Minnesota, and I keep DMing her. Maybe she'll have me on some days, Minnesota besties. But like, it is so hard. Like, it is truly an art form to be able to see something, pause it, and then kind of go, okay, like what's something that I could like be funny about this? I got it. And then say it, and it just be like people love it and laugh and like consume it constantly. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But second of all, I could totally get why that sort of content like pigeonholes you into not collaborating with others, because it's like having two people trying to react to something when you've got your own flow can be difficult.
It's so stressful. Like,
yeah.
Because you really do have your own flow, and like, you'll wanna, like, a lot of times I love like planting a seed or like, you know, saying a joke that I'll be like, okay, I kind of have a feeling this character is going to do this multiple times or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to set up like a running joke or something like that. I'll do like setups and payoffs. And when you have another person there, it does feel like a tug of war where you're like, am I talking too much? If I set something up, will they give me like the layup that I'm looking for?
Yeah.
And so, it's just nice to, and you also like cracked the formula really well that like no one else has, where people are like, yeah, how do you just like come up with that instantly? And it's like the reaction is instant, like where I'm like, whoa, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
And then I'll pause and be like, okay, I have like 12% of a joke like forming in my head.
Yep.
Let me
flesh
like
it out.
Yeah, let me flesh out the thought and then give like an analysis or like a critique. Yeah.
Do you edit your content or do you have editors?
I used to for like the first year, and then getting an editor truly changed my life.
Yeah. Same. So then like, do you throw them like three jokes and you're like, I don't fucking know, pick one. And then they Russian roulette it, or do you tell them which joke?
No, I mean, at this point I've gotten a lot more confident and like understanding my own like formula mm-hmm. that sometimes I'll be like, I'll do like a few takes and then be like, hey, editor, this week, watch through all those if you don't mind and like just pick the funniest one. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll be like, there are jokes that like need an edit. So I'll like set up the joke and then I'll be like, I'll turn to the camera or I'll be like, whoa, I can't believe that just happened. Okay, so Tom, what I'm going to need from you is...
My favorite setup that you did was when you... The Alex Brightman, which we'll talk about this on Patreon, which we're going to wrap this up. If you haven't paid for Patreon, this is the one to like take your $5.
What are you doing?
Come by the Patreon because this one's going to be really great. They sent in so many good questions for you. Oh, nice. So excited to dive into it. But my favorite prediction that you did during like a reactionary video was you being like, okay... I sense Alex Brightman somewhere in this. And not even like a minute later, his character Fizzarelli was there. And you're like, I couldn't have been more on par.
Dude.
It was so funny.
It's euphoric. Yeah. It's like when people like, you know how annoying healthy people will be like, just annoying like piece of shit healthy people will be like, oh, once you hit like 7 miles on a run, you get the runner's high.
Yep. Yeah. Nope. It's a lie. It doesn't exist. It'll never happen.
Yeah, that's them like breaking their knees and then waking up in the hospital on morphine. That's the high. Every like 30 videos I put out, I'll accidentally set something up in the beginning. And then like either at the end of the episode or I'll react to 2 episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. At the end of the second episode, I'll get like a payoff for that joke I set up like hours ago. And I'm like, this is why we do it. Like,
it just feels,
like I chase that high so frequently. It feels incredible. It's like the universe storytelling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it shows that like you obviously understand like script writing and media because you're able to predict things.
Right.
If you're like are paying attention. And I did kind of wonder, I'm like, does he watch ahead and like see what happens and then go back? But
no, I always like it's always chronological. There's been like some times where if it just happened, like if it's like an immediate one, the Alex Brightman one wasn't like one I retroactively did. It was because I knew like they're in the same universe. So I was like rolling the dice on it. But like there's sometimes where like I'll tell a joke, I'll do a bit, watch more of the episode, and then I'll be like, oh, if I do one sentence tweak, I can make this next joke a lot harder.
Yeah.
So I'll like tell the editor like, hey, slip this line in into the previous reaction I just did. But I'm watching from beginning to end.
Right.
And reacting along the way.
Well, y'all heard it here first. He doesn't cheat. He's not cheating it. Because some people were like, this is... And I was like, I don't think so.
You're the only person to put a camera in front of my face and ask me point blank.
Really?
Yeah, this is some hard-hitting journalism.
Yes. Delulu Canoe, you heard it here first. Speaking of hearing it here first, we're actually going to take this on over to Patreon, where you all ask some exciting, interesting questions. So we're going to dive into those. But before we go over there, is there a special place that people can find you and watch your content?
Yeah, so I was real dumb and made all of my handles just my full legal name. So you can find me on YouTube at Danny Mata and TikTok at, it's like DMata3, but just look Danny Mata up on something and you'll find me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's your full legal name. My God.
What a decision.
I'm like, what? It was a choice. It was definitely a choice.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no creator handbook, so you know. But you guys know where to find me. You can find my Instagram, Dare Taylor Official, with the blue check mark. That's how you know it's me. And there's a new website with all of my links on it because the last one was broken. So be sure to go check that out. And Adam, where can everybody find you?
Well, now that we're making fun of people for using their full legal names and their handles, you can find me at my full legal name in Instagram at Adam William Zastro, middle name included.
Wow. So
I went all out. I went really, really all out. And then follow our Disastro skit on Instagram as well. And check out my IMBD, Give Me Those Hits. I'll be in season 2 of a show that I can't talk about yet in like February.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we'll do that. Back to you, Dare.
Yeah, I would say that's an early drop. We're in November right now.
No.
Dang, cliffhanger. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. And remember to stay Delulu because it's the Salulu. See you on Patreon!